when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Light him up, Colin!
It is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. You got Colin Russo and Mike Rizzo as we enter into the 5 o'clock hour here with Elias Bustamante helping us out on the airwaves. We got you for the next hour, and also the last episode of Extra Time with Mike Rizzo, Damian Prez will be a little later today.
A little bittersweet.
We got a lot of action to follow up. Mike and I saw the Odyssey this weekend. We got to talk about that a little later on. And
Wow.
Elias Bustamante, who is one of the great phonies in the history of phonies, who, you know, so I love talking to movies with Elias. Elias is on top of it. He's good going to the theater, but for some reason wants to wait, you know, until, you know, third quarter 2028 to watch the Odyssey for the first time because he wants to go wait for 5 weeks for the 70mm to become available, which is a waste, waste of my time that you are going to wait 4 weeks for the only 70mm in Florida to become available to watch the Odyssey.
I'll do it. It's right next to my house.
What a waste of time.
Wasting my time. You guys already convinced me. I want to watch that movie.
So I know you should want to watch that
movie.
I'll
probably go this weekend and just watch it on normal IMAX.
There you go. Mike and I saw normal IMAX.
It's
Mike, did you care?
Fine.
I was very adequate. You had to go IMAX.
Now, I'll tell you what. Those seats, dude, I could have fell asleep. Now, granted, the movie was so great. It never, but dude.
You're comfortable.
Wow. Understatement. I didn't eat, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Because, folks, I got to tell you about my good friends at Flagler Credit Union. They are the guys that I trust with my money. Colin's telling me about a bunch of trips that he's going on. I told him, man, go look into Flagler Credit Union. You're going to be budging it out, buying plane tickets. Flagler will help you hit your financial goals. What I have with Flagler, my personal checking account and my savings account. If you're like Joe in West Palm and got a local pizzeria, you know, if you need somewhere to store your cash, need somewhere to get your business checking account, Flagler Credit Union has that as well. So look into it. FlaglerCU.org. That's FlaglerCU.org. They got 4 locations across Palm Beach County, Boca Raton, Lake Clark Shores, North Palm Beach, and West Palm Beach. Folks, I live up in Palm Beach Lakes. I go to the one right down here in West Palm. Go see what location suits you. That's Flagler Credit Union, the official credit union of Florida Atlantic Athletics. Let's hit the 5 at 5 presented by Flagler Credit Union.
5 topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking, baked ham.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number one.
All right, Kyle, very interesting number one here. A lot to unpack here, so bear with me. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey at SEC Media Day says that the league has a real conversation about if the league should break away. In 5 years, what would the conference look like in college football? Let me take this a step further, Colin, because right now what's going on in the Senate, all right, there's a bill called the Protect College Sports Act, which will drastically alter the college sports landscape. Enforceable NIL regulations. The bill creates a nationwide standard for NIL, grants the NCAA a new commission without a limited antitrust exempt. All you got to know is a cap, right? It's basically saying, hey, the NCAA could set a cap for
said
schools.
Can't spend more than this.
Transparency requirements. Student-athletes now have to report if $600 or more of earnings of NIL.
That should happen. It's the only way to enforce how much guys are spending.
Correct. On top of that, agent regulation. The fee is capped at 5%, which is good. I hear horror stories all the time about some agents. Not saying all of them are crooked, but I hear horror stories about how, you know, guys are taking advantage of people. Employee status, the bill remains completely neutral, which I think is good, whether student-athletes legally qualify as employees. And then transfer restrictions. Athletes are limited to exactly one penalty-free transfer. That is it. If you want to, you know, transfer again, you're going to have to sit out like the old-fashioned way. Now, Colin, the reason why the SEC and the Big Ten, on top of that, because, listen, SEC and Big Ten are against it because they don't want a cap. They have teams like Ohio State and Texas that are spending $30 million on rosters. Michigan gives them a competitive advantage. But you mentioned
me. Yeah, say the last thing, yeah.
It's all about the dollars, all right? The bill introduces a mechanism to pull television rights revenue across all of college football to distribute money more evenly. For instance, the SEC and the Big Ten, they have highly lucrative exclusive network deals with ESPN, Fox, and CBS. SEC exclusively ESPN, Big Ten, Fox, CBS, and now and then NBC. They commissioned a private study claiming that revenue pooling is, quote, dangerously unworkable. It is an unworkable model that would actually lower overall profits. Colin, where do you side on this? Do you side with the Big Ten and the SEC, who are maybe fearing their dominance of not having a cap and the TV revenue? Or do you see it from the NCAA and the Senate? This is how you make things more fairly even.
So tell me if you agree. Everything you said until that last point, 1,000 unequivocally agree.
I agree. And, even, you know, this is coming from
no
me.
No one's thinking about Ohio State.
Unequivocally.
No yeah, one
should
time.
Be capped. You should have to declare it on how much money you have or how much money you're making. You should be able to transfer once penalty-free, and after that, there should be consequences unless your coach moves or gets fired.
And again, enforceable NIL regulations, which means this lets the NCAA enforce hard spending caps and rules without fear of antitrust lawsuits.
So, on top of that, college students are now going to be able to get 5 years of eligibility, so there's another there adds your expanded pool right there. Now, the thing I do have a problem with, I don't think it's fair that the NCAA should be able to pull conference-wide rights. Yep. Because back, I want to say in 1981 was when the conferences were allowed legally by Supreme Court to sell their media rights individually. The SEC negotiates with ESPN and ABC for their conference rights.
Mm-hmm.
They negotiate individually as a own branch of their own business. The Big Ten is the same way. Big Ten schools, I want to say, get around $77, $80 million a year from their TV contracts alone. Imagine if that was pooled amongst 200 teams. Then all of a sudden, you're getting a couple million a year tops. Whereas the SEC team, I believe, makes about $60 million a year. Shooting from the hip, but I believe that's the number. Around $60 million a year of their conference things. And the ACC school, for example, makes around $24, $25, $27
million. Yep.
So from a perspective of fairness, the SEC team obviously draws a whole lot more. Therefore, they should get a little bit more of the money.
Now,
I don't know why you can't have everything you said listed and just get rid of the pooling. I don't know why you can't just get rid of the pooling. Here's your cap. If you want to spend this, NIL, revenue sharing, we got it all. You can't just spend more than this. Done. We don't need to pool anything else.
There are a couple other things, too, in play with this. The Senate, the government, and the NCAA are working hand-in-hand on the Protect College Sports Act.
Yes.
They're also trying to keep the power, keeping the power from expanding. The legislation attempts to prohibit further conference expansion.
It's to protect the conferences because then all of a sudden Florida State and Clemson don't want to leave the ACC anymore.
Bingo.
Because they don't want to, get paid $60 million in the SEC versus $27 million in the ACC.
And look what happened to the Big 12. When Texas and Oklahoma left, their whole conference shut down. Well, granted, now you hope Texas Tech can compete. One more thing, Kyle. The Super League leverage. Lawmakers explicitly designed the bill to stop the Big Ten or the SEC from breaking away from the NCAA to form an independent, private, equity-backed Super League. You want to know what I think? I think if this does, now granted, Colin, we know how a bill works. It just goes to the Senate, House of Representatives,
a long
process, all right? But say this thing gets passed. The SEC and the Big Ten could still not sign off on it and leave.
Yeah.
And
then nobody wins.
Correct. And I think, sadly,
TV networks are going to pay for that. They don't want to pay for that.
My best guess, I think this is great for the totality of college football. I'm with you. I disagree with the broadcasting stuff. But at the same time, if this comes into play, you will see a Super League with the bid. This is the first step. This bill, with the broadcast stuff into it and the pulling of the money from the broadcasting deals, this is the first step of the Big Ten and the SEC branching away.
Yeah, if they really wanted to show their power, I'd like to think that the Big Ten and the ACC can get rid of that pooling, the broadcast pooling. Now, if that's the case, then you got to set the people who wrote this deal, the lawmakers.
I think it's led by Rubio and company.
Yep. They should respond to the Big Ten and the ACC coming back with an addendum saying, all right, we don't want the pooling of broadcast rights. Then the lawmakers should say, fine. But if you want to leave your conference, if you want to add to your conference, you got to pay a big penalty bill to college now sports. That goes everywhere.
So how about this? Expansion limits. Early versions of the bill placed severe restriction caps on conference expansion for leagues generating over $1 billion in annual revenue.
Which is all of them. All the big ones.
While lawmakers are currently modifying this to allow flexible promotion paths, say if you're a football program in the American and you're good enough to be in the Big Ten, that's what I think of when I say that.
Yeah.
But it still aims to freeze aggressive, unchecked realignment the Pac-12.
Yeah.
The Oklahomas and the Texas of the world. And Colin, I'm telling you, this is the first step in maybe something massive happening.
I don't think you're going to see the Super League. I actually think everything in that College Sports Act works. I think they're just going to need to come back and renegotiate the pooling. Because the Big Ten and the SEC, whether they want to admit it or not, have a ton of leverage. And the college football knows that. The lawmakers know that. I do think they just go back and they say, you're not getting our pooled conference rights. You're not doing that. Because the NCAA is not in any position to negotiate with networks on all of college football. Because then there's a whole can of worms that you're opening that you do not want to deal with. Get rid of the pooling. Create the cap. Have it include NIL. Declare everything. Set the rules in the transfer period. And set rules on expanding college football conferences. And call it a day. Everybody wins.
Number two.
Last thing. Even if you are a Miami fan, a Florida fan, you know, even a Florida State fan when they become relevant again. And even me as a Buckeye, it's in our favor right now, but for the totality of college football, I think this is what for the best. We can't keep these handshake secret deals of NIL and not knowing how much people are making.
Even the big schools are like, this is unsustainable.
All right, Colin, number two, once again.
Number two.
Our 5 and 5 presented by Flagler Credit Union. ESPN Radio, as a part of the off-season rank'em series, took a look at the top 5 offensive skill position players. Colin, for you, which guys have to be on the top 5 skill players list? Now, Kyle, if I can I be a homer real quick?
No one's thinking about Ohio State. Okay. No one cares.
I think Smith and Jigba's got to be on it.
Okay.
Right? I think, would you want Nacua on it?
So skill positions, let's define this. Does that include running backs?
Running back and receiver.
It's running back, tight ends too.
Yeah, but you know.
No tight end's going to be top 5.
Yeah, I wouldn't take, I love Brock Bowers, but I'm not putting him in there. Now, running backs, what? This is who you could possibly come up. James Cook, Derrick Henry, Taylor, Robinson,
A-Chain,
Gibbs. Like, those are probably the top ones. Receivers, I mean, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Jackson Smith, Jigba, Pacua, and Nacua.
I would say Gibbs is on that list. If yours are running back, I would say Gibbs. As it stands today, him and Robinson are on that list. You're going to put 2 and then 3. And then the 3 receivers are probably Smith and Jigba, probably Justin Jefferson, and probably Ja'Marr Chase. Am I wrong there?
No, you're not. I rather, Colin, hear me out on this. I think Christian McCaffrey is probably the better than Gibbs.
And he had a good year, and he's a little bit more of a do-it-all. Gibbs is in a split offense. He's a lot more explosive. Take your pick. Yeah. I would say for the future, I would say that.
Sure.
One.
And I'm completely fine with the receivers there.
Yeah, it's those three.
Yeah.
All 3 of them are better than Lamb. You're not taking A.J. Brown. You're not taking any of the young guys yet. Those are your 3.
Number 3.
Nacua could be in
That's
there.
That's why
Nacua is the only one who has an argument, but he doesn't have the body of work.
I love Jefferson. I haven't seen,
he had a bad year. He had a bad year.
Screwed me. Royally screwed me.
One is Stafford. The other is J.J. McCarthy. It's hard to judge.
How about Smith and Jigba with old Sam Darnold?
Well, that's friend of show. That's our guy, yeah. Sam Darnold.
Kyle, in order to be friend of show, you got to be on the show. Colin, number 3, the movie world spent the week, including the 2 hosts of Russo and Rizzo. We were missing
not the producer.
Third host and producer of Russo and Rizzo, but the movie world and
picking
Russo and Rizzo.
Instead of going to the movies.
2 out of the 3 of Russo and Rizzo. By the way, shout out JMP for just showing up to the theater.
Yeah,
that was hysterical.
What's up?
I kind of felt bad that
Well, I told him. I told everybody in the office knew where we were going.
Anyway. The movie, Kyle, The Odyssey. Colin, you're planning to see it the second time in 3 days coming up tonight. How do you score the movie out of 10?
So I'll have my official rating tomorrow. I have Letterboxd, so I do it out of 5. So I do.
We need to figure out. By the way, we need to figure out a shtick, a segment of endorsement, something with you in movies. We're doing a disservice here on this show.
So
not letting you talk.
I gave it a 9.5 out of 10. I would say there is more of a chance it moves down than up. I would say it's around the 9.2, 9.3 rating. I think it's an amazing movie. I think it's one of Nolan's best. I do not think it's Nolan's best. We'll talk about it a lot next. But, Mike, if you're going to the movies and you walk out of that saying I hated it, what are you looking for?
It's the first thing I said to you.
What are you looking for?
Because I told Colin, you know, we showed up to the theater, and I go, Kyle, I've been seeing people complaining about this movie.
Yeah, so I didn't see much of that.
I go, and then everything that these people were complaining about wasn't even true in the movie.
Non-problems.
And, like, they thought a specific character was the great warrior and Greek mythology hero Achilles. It's like, brother, he was never Achilles in the movie. What's your gripe? I got to be careful. And Colin, I'm not like, you know, you're a movie guy. I love going to the movies. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm a movie critic. I like all my nerdy stuff. This is right there with my nerds. It's a 10 out of 10. How is it this a 10 out of 10 for an average guy like me? And I'll take it a step further. We've seen about 7 of Nolan's movies. Dark Knight.
So what have you seen?
Here we go.
Have you seen the 3 Batmans? Batman Begins, Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises.
All of them.
Have you seen Inception?
I've seen Inception.
Have you seen Interstellar?
I've seen Interstellar.
That's 5. Have you seen Oppenheimer?
I've seen Oppenheimer.
Have you seen Dunkirk?
I've seen Dunkirk, and I've seen Tenet.
All right, so you're at more than that.
So like 8,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
I'm at like 8.
And then
8.
The Odyssey.
Yeah, 9.
You're missing 2.
I'm missing Prestige.
You're missing
Memento.
And Insomnia. Momentum. And Insomnia.
Yeah. Right.
No. I saw that.
You've seen Insomnia? With Al Pacino?
Yeah, it's, you know.
It's a fine movie. It's not great. It's definitely his worst.
But what I'm going to tell you guys, my top 3, top 4-ish Nolan movies, Dark Knight's number 1.
Yeah.
I am such a Leonardo DiCaprio stan. I got to put Inception 2.
I think Inception's his best movie.
I got to put Inception 2. And then Interstellar is 3. Here's my issue. I am thinking about putting this movie ahead of Interstellar.
Wow. You got to rewatch Interstellar then. Be fair.
I've seen it 4 times.
Oh, so you're all right.
No! Trust me.
What scene was that?
when he's watching through the void.
Oh, he doesn't want...
No!
Don't let me leave, Merv. Don't let me leave, Merv.
But
it's a great movie.
I'm thinking it's top 4. 100% this Odyssey movie cracks my Nolan top 4. Once again, Dark Knight, Inception, Interstellar, Odyssey. I'm going to see Odyssey again as well. I don't know when, but I'm going to see it a second time again. I don't know, man. Kyle, you're going to laugh at me. You'll probably make fun of me. I set up Craig Karmazin's ChatGPT before the movie.
Yeah, I'm surprised you did that.
I was lost. I'm going to be completely honest
with you.
Which
part?
I was lost on a couple of parts. I thought...
So, who's who?
Yeah. Agamemnon, I thought, was Achilles. For about 30 minutes of the movie, I thought Agamemnon was Achilles. All right? So, chat, help me out there. I forgot in the story who the witch was. All right? Not spoiling anything, but I had to have him explain me that. And then something else Craig Karmazin, ChatGPT, explained to me... was how the sirens worked in the book.
Yes. Okay.
So that was, but I was tremendously lost a couple of times. And Colin, I need subtitles.
We'll talk about this on the other
side. I need subtitles.
Because Elias needs to plug his ears for next segment because we're going to talk about it next.
Anyway. Number 4.
Colin, expansion, the FIFA World Cup going to 64 teams.
We talked about it. Total win for me.
Except for Mike Rizzo. Listen, making the World Cup used to mean something. I don't need to see Omen. You know, versus
Tajikistan
and Robbie P of the P League in Cleveland. I love you, brother. I don't need to see Omen versus Macedonia. I don't need to see it. And granted, Azuri Blue fan who's missed out on the 3
number
World
5
Cups, number 5 5-5 presented by Flagler Credit Union. Colin, the 2026 World Cup wrapped up yesterday with Spain lifting the trophy. What was your favorite memory of the World Cup?
I think the game you'll never forget, weirdly enough, is Mexico England. I think if there is one, that moment, that environment was as good as it gets. My favorite memory, I'll tell you, get the Malik Tillman free kick down a man to put a cap on the Bosnia game was something you'll never forget. Norway at the end of Brazil was awesome. I'm just spitballing a bunch. But, Norway at the end of Brazil, putting them away in the 90-something minute. I thought the end of the Dutch game against the Moroccans was awesome. That was one that pops into mind because of not only the 95th minute header to tie it, but also the extra time and very dramatic PKs. Those are some that popped to mind.
Now, the United States and the belt to bottom against Paraguay 4-1.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then an easy cop out for me, guys. You know, going into this World Cup, people were pissed it was in the United States. People were afraid to come here. I think we proved we're the greatest country on the planet after this World Cup. That was the 5-5 presented by Flagler Credit Union. You know, now, you know, everyone came here and realized that the stupid waste of time news stories, you know, we actually have really good people here and we're decent people. All right. That's the 5-5 presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Oh, a little bit of an Odyssey review from Mike Rizzo and myself. Our gripes, Elias, plug your ears. If you don't like spoilers and you first of all, spoil the Odyssey, what are we going to spoil the Bible next? I mean, that's one thing, but
Are we allowed to do that? Are we allowed to talk about the movie?
You shouldn't.
Yeah, are we allowed to talk about
the Odyssey? I want to talk about your thoughts on the movie.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Yeah. What I'm saying.
Well, I don't need to break down the specifics. I just want to talk about the movie.
Dude, The Witch was crazy.
Well, hold on. We'll get to that on the other side of things. It's Mike Rizzo. It's Colin Russo. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
If you're driving down 95 and all of a sudden you start thinking about the Odyssey, get a little sidetracked, get a little bit of a fender bender, you need an accident attorney. That's where Anajar and Levine can come and get your back. That's Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine. They are the best options here in South Florida. And there's a million options. You see them sponsor the end zone during the Miami Hurricanes football games. Anajar and Levine are everywhere in South Florida, and they are the best in the business. There's a million options. There's only really one best. Go get them today. Call them for a free consultation. If you're ever in a car accident, ever in a truck accident, ever in a slip and fall situation where you need accident attorney help, and you know they're going to fight for you because they don't even get paid unless you do. You know there's a real incentive to get you the maximum compensation that you are deserved in these cases. Call them today and take back control of your life. Call them at 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. So the Odyssey came out this weekend. It made about $300 million opening weekend. And Elias Bustamante, who's our producer, we're not going to do major spoilers, all right? So get that out of the way. All right, we're not going to do major spoilers, but I want to get our thoughts on the movie out there because Mike and I did see it together, and this is a dialed-in moment in terms of the movie-going experience.
Blown away.
You loved
Odyssey,
it.
Blown away by it.
You loved it.
Loved it. I heard conflict. Now, my brother saw it the night of, and when he told me he loved it, I'm like, great. I'm like, I'm proud. Him and I are very, you know, usually
lock
with movies.
Step in what you like.
Lockstep in what we like. And I go, perfect, because I saw a lot of things complaining, this and that. It has nothing to do with Greek mythology. I completely disagree. So I was, first off, blown away. 10 out of 10 for a novice like me. 10 out of 10.
I would say, so let's get this out of the way.
Yeah.
The things that people were upset about heading into this, two major processes. There is one casted character in the movie who's an actor named Elliot Page, and Elliot Page is a transgender man to, woman to man. And everybody thought that, people theorized that Elliot Page was playing Achilles.
Mm-hmm. Who's not
so
in the
therefore,
movie, by the way.
Yep. You know, there's a certain demographic of people that are just up in arms about it. Made a big deal. It ended up not being the case. And I'd even add to the point that Elliot Page was one of, if not the best performance in the entire movie.
I would agree. I would 100% agree that that character was 10 out of 10.
Outstanding. Stole the movie for one specific scene.
One of the best. How about this? One of the best written characters in the movie.
I agree. There was one monologue scene that Elliot Page's character has that was absolutely out of this world.
Yep. And even, like I said, the buildup into the character, why the character was in this specific spot at the time
Elliot
of the
Page
movie.
Was unbelievably good.
And it was hand in hand with another character whose guts you hated.
Yeah.
You hated the other character's guts, and you really respected what Elliot Page's character did.
Did you like Damon in the role?
Dude.
You get used to him early? Because the thing is Matt Damon. It's Matt
dare
Damon.
Dare I say.
You're watching it. You're like, that's Matt Damon.
I think that's one of his best roles, bro. He made the movie.
It's on his shoulders.
He made the movie, and I love Matt Damon movies. So like, I'm not like someone who can't stand Damon.
He's been in everything too.
I think this was one of his best, if not the best role he's ever been in. It's hard. It's a hard movie to do.
I agree.
It's a tough movie to do.
So I give Damon a ton of credit because I agree. I think he did everything great. Now the thing is they allowed Matt Damon to be Matt Damon. He didn't have an accent. He looked like Matt Damon. It was Matt Damon. So
no issues with the no accents, by the way.
No problems. But the thing about it is watching it and thinking about it, watching it in the moment, you were completely fine with Matt Damon. Kind of walking away, I'm curious how I feel the second time around. I kind of feel like that's Christian Bale's role. Like Christian Bale, that was like Odysseus. He would have killed that.
Maybe I don't know, mate. I can't see anyone else playing the role.
Maybe. I
can't, like, after watching, I mean, it's almost a 3-hour movie, Colin.
Three on the dot, essentially.
After watching 3 hours of it, nobody can be Odysseus but Matt Damon.
So there are other casting decisions, because the thing about Nolan movies, especially the recent ones, Oppenheimer's on this board too, there are so many A-listers. Famous person.
With that. That's how you know it's a massive movie.
I agree. And you like it for the most part. There are a couple people that I would have casted differently. I thought...
Menelaus?
Menelaus is John Bernthal. If you've seen The Walking Dead, it was essentially...
The Punisher, too.
Punisher. It's essentially the same guy, but he's in The Odyssey. John Bernthal, who I think is a fine actor. He's a specific type of person.
He made me laugh. He was the comic relief of the movie. Of a very serious and dark movie, he was the comic relief.
Another person I think I'd recast was Charlize Theron in the movie as Calypso.
Yeah,
blonde on the beach.
Dude, hang on. No. She's still got it going on.
No, that's not what I'm saying. She's a gorgeous woman. That's not what I'm asking.
But that's what it's supposed to be. Calypso in Greek mythology is a gorgeous woman.
I understand.
And that is a gorgeous, mature woman.
I understood.
All right? She's a good-looking gal, dude.
From an acting perspective, I do think we could have had somebody else. We could have had somebody else.
You didn't think she did her job well enough in the role.
I thought everybody else was really good at pulling their weight.
See, I think she played the mature... goddess very well.
What
I'm
about
okay with that?
Let me ask you this. Yeah. What do you think about Tom Holland's Spider-Man as Matt Damon's son in the movie?
You know what? I hated him in the beginning, but I was really rooting for him in the end.
That means he did his job.
I think it was
he's
a
not
good
supposed
character.
To be like he's yeah. not like the he's not the overarching main character
and
hero
keep,
of the
and,
story.
And listen, keep in mind, I don't think that it's a spoiler that Odysseus isn't around for his life. The guy didn't have his dad around his entire life. Obviously, he's not going to be this tremendous warrior because the great Odysseus, who's the best with the bow, was training him. You know what I mean?
So everybody in Ithaca is sort of a reject. None of them went on the Trojan War.
Right. All of the males that are still there are guys who either
left behind,
cowered out, or didn't have to go because they didn't draw the wooden straw, so to say. I think it was a great character. I think Holland did a good job.
I think he did a good job, too.
I couldn't stand him in the beginning, and then I was really rooting for him at the end.
That's a character thing, yeah. Correct, I thought, ultimately, Holland did a good job.
Yep.
Everybody was worried that he says dad in the movie instead of father.
Oh,
guys.
Potter, give me a break, guys. What are we doing?
I'll say this, too. If that movie was written and spoken in, like, you know, King's ancient mythology written language.
I couldn't hear him as it is.
You would not understand a single thing that happened in the movie.
By the way,
you needed... contemporary English to be able to follow along.
This is every single Nolan movie ever. I needed subtitles 15 minutes in. I tapped Crosby, our marketing facilitator, on the side, and our guy, Drew. I tapped him. I said, brother, I need subtitles. And as Colin alludes to,
Mike has a hearing problem.
Not a problem is a word.
Enough years with the headphones on.
Correct.
Full blast.
A problem is a word, but, you know...
Mike, I noticed that too.
It was tough.
It
not going to lie.
For me,
tough.
And I love Nolan movies, all the ones that I've seen a bunch of times, I know all the dialogue, so it's not like I'm learning anything for the first time. But watching a Nolan movie for the first time, you have to get used to how they sound because it is hard to understand. Oppenheimer was the same way.
It was.
It's just boom. It's just so overarching. But ultimately, here's if I'm going to bring up a complaint that I had. The movie, this is no spoiler, in The Odyssey, is told non-linearly, right? So it's not in a consecutive order. You're bouncing around a lot. I did not think that was a problem. I think that was the right way to do it. And I thought, especially in that third act, which is amazing, which we'll get into.
Yep.
The bouncing around ultimately worked. I thought there were moments where we were all over the place.
You felt lost.
3 minutes here, 3 minutes there, 3 minutes there. We're 20 years in the future. We're 15 years back. We're 10 years back. We're 5 years back. I just thought when the movie was at its best, when you're with these characters, like actually doing something and in the moment, whenever they're on the voyage and they're on the boat and they're trying to get through this hellish storm, or they're on island number one, they're trying to deal with this one situation. They're at the Cyclops cave. They're trying to deal with these things. It's at its best when you're sort of living in the moment with them rather than jumping around. That was a takeaway I had.
I never felt lost.
I didn't think I did either.
I always knew where we were at with the narrative, with the story, to let things marinate
for me, though. I felt we were bouncing around too much. I'm not getting a feel.
I hear what you're saying.
We don't see the Trojan horse sequence until halfway through the movie.
So, Colin, a lot of the nerdy stuff that I watch, it bounces around. Like my animes, my Star Wars stuff. That didn't bother me.
I thought it was overedited a little bit.
I see the gripe, but someone who is trained to understand where you are in the moment and understand why we're having the flashback, the flash forward, whatever it may be, I was completely fine with it.
Here's how I would compare it to. Oppenheimer's very built similarly. Oppenheimer's is a non-linear movie too. It's a Nolan movie. That movie is four different time periods. It's when Oppenheimer first is studying quantum mechanics in Germany versus bringing it to America. It's during the Manhattan Project and during the World War II when he's building the bomb race against the Nazis. And then it's the McCarthy trials in the 1950s and 60s when he's trying to get his security clearance and they're trying to figure out if he's a communist. So those three periods, they bounce around very, very freely about. But the thing is if you remember in Oppenheimer, they're talking to Oppenheimer in a courtroom about what we're going to go watch. Like, we're going to bounce back. Boom. He's talking about it. Now you're watching it. It's a little less multi-storyline.
It's more directed.
It's a little bit more directed.
It's more directed.
If that makes sense.
It does.
I thought
it
does. We're living one storyline here. We're living another storyline there. We're living another storyline there.
I don't think this is a spoiler. The first 20 minutes, 30 minutes of the movie, you don't see Matt Damon. You don't see Odysseus.
Which I liked.
I did too. It set up the son. It set up the mother. There's struggles going on at Ithaca and exactly how Odysseus being away at the war for 20-some years now has affected where he is king.
Yeah.
So I had no issue with that at all.
Each of the stops, we'll try to keep it blank canvas. If you don't know that the Odyssey has different stops and islands, I don't know what to tell you.
Different trials and tribulations.
The Odyssey, the whole point of the movie is him getting tested by the gods on his way back to Ithaca following the Trojan War. Each of the stops, there were some that were better than the others.
But all of them were fantastic, I thought. I don't think a single stop was a swing and miss. Let me put it this way. Without spoiling it, the second stop where
the animals,
I guess you could call them that.
Yeah.
The men, try not to spoil, the men in armor.
Yes.
How about that? I feel like we could have done more there.
The giants.
I didn't know if I was allowed to
say it. The giants.
I thought we could have stayed there a little longer.
I agree. We're in and out quick.
I thought we could have had one of them talk. So Colin, keep in mind in the book, these are cannibal giants. They eat humans. It's what they eat. It's their diet. I wish we could have explored that a little bit. And the opening scene of the little giant in the armor screaming.
Yeah, great.
Oh, my God. I knew that it was going to go down right after that. And the sheer force of the punch. I thought Nolan did a good job of
good.
Their strength. Like, their punch completely obliterating three oak trees that stand 50 feet high.
Yeah.
You know? But I thought we could have done more in depth there. My favorite of it all, and I think your favorite of it all, though, was the witch. Yeah, the witch
with
stop.
The animals. With the animals,
that was the most well written, I think, sequence, side story.
I totally
quest,
agree.
Character
that one thematically was the most relevant. I won't get into it, but the theme of the movie is a lot of it is human nature
and the. The bird, too. I wanted to learn more about the bird.
Interesting. I agree. That's a very good scene.
I wanted to know about the bird.
A very good scene. I think Samantha Morton, who is the actress in that scene, could 12 minutes. I think she could get nominated.
For spoiler purposes, I'm not going to tell you what the bird is, but you find out who the bird is, and you go, wow, I wonder why that is. And, Colin, the Cyclops was disturbing.
Cyclops was good.
Very good. Very disturbing.
Actually, weirdly enough, I thought that was one of the lesser stops comparatively. I thought the Black Sand Beach one was better.
Dude.
And I thought the Black Sand Beach one was an excellent scene.
I think that was the most important stop of them all because it explains.
I agree.
You know,
that scene, the one we just talked about.
Yep.
Each of the stops are awesome. It's a little Pirates of the Caribbean-esque.
It is.
Because they dock the boat.
Yep.
They run on. Uh-oh.
All hell breaks loose.
We're sprinting back to the boat and getting out to water as fast as we can.
All right, so you're a bit down on the Cyclops.
I'm curious. I got to see it again. I'm going to see it again tonight, and I'm going to see
quickly
how I feel.
Disturbing, the Cyclops.
Oh, no doubt.
And when it screams in IMAX, you feel it.
I actually thought.
Dude, in IMAX, when that thing screams, you feel it. It's like you're in the cave.
Yeah.
It's like you're in the damn cave.
I actually would have liked a little bit more horror elements to that. To the point where.
I mean, he's eating
when
humans.
When it's dark, when it's dark and you don't know where he is.
Oh,
fascinating.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you could see him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Following? The beginning part was very interesting because where the hell is he?
I mean, he's eating humans like corn on the cob. I mean, seriously, very disturbing, guys.
We'll take a timeout here, and we will close things out with a little puts the book. Odyssey, Mike Legg thinks 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
9.5 out of 10. Remains to be seen. Elias, who hasn't given it the chance yet. I'll tell you. Elias is going to wait for it on DVD. And you know, when he gets it on DVD, he watches it nice in his living room. He could order some Adrian Square pizza right here at City Place. Bring it home, because there's nothing like a movie night that says a movie night like pizza. So go check out the best square pizza and some of the best pizza in Palm Beach County right down the street here at Adrian's Pizza Bar at City Place, because you can go there to watch the big game. It's a sports bar vibe with handcrafted cocktails. They're great for lunch, great for dinner, and great for drinks after the game. Go watch games live. They got 1,000 screens there, all the biggest games, biggest matches, biggest tournaments on throughout the weekend. And it's best because it's open basically all day. You get 11:30 a.m. to midnight. You get multiple happy hours a day. Go check them out today, because there is no better spot to catch the game and no better spot to get some pizza like Adrian's Pizza Bar at City Place right down the street from here. Go check them out today. That is Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Elias Bustamante. We'll do a little puts the book next. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN
106.3.
If you missed any of the program today, go listen back on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. Just go to Russo and Rizzo. Post Odyssey, Damian Perez about the hockey sub for Elias Bustamante. He hasn't even seen it either. He's going to see it on Thursday. Elias is TBD. Elias, when are you going to see the Odyssey?
Probably this weekend.
You see it this weekend?
Yeah.
You go see it in IMAX?
Yes.
Well, everyone, listen, we invited the whole office.
And I warned people weeks out. Guys, I'm getting tickets. You guys want to come? I'm more than welcome. Damian couldn't come. It's fine.
No one told me.
Stop. I told you.
No one told me.
I told you.
I'll tell you what. Give credit to our road dog, Drew. Drew was there with us.
He was there.
And then JMP, you know, showed up like an apparition.
He spawned. Oh, hey, JMP. Hey. And he walks out, and the first thing he says, most overrated movie, just to get a rise out of us. He was just kidding.
Yeah.
Great movie, though. We'll see what's going on here. We'll talk to Elias about it maybe, you know, around Christmas.
3 months from
now. Yeah, and we'll have a good time there. But nonetheless, let's bounce around. Let's do a little Blitz the Book with Hard Rock Bet.
Send some heat. Pin your ears back. It's time to Blitz the Book. Presented by Hard Rock Bet.
All righty, Blitz the Book, Hard Rock Bet. How about the Red Sox? They have been red hot. I mean, geez, they can't stop
it. Could have led with them today. 13 in a row.
I know.
And sweeping the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean,
absolutely dominating. And I believe they have a day off today, but when they get back at it tomorrow, you want to ride the hot hand?
Dude, I'm all over it. Let's go with the Red Sox.
They got the Orioles this week at home, too.
And they stink. With all due respect to the Orioles, they stink. Kyle Bradish has pitched well for them. Other than that, you know, Petey Alonso has hit some home runs. But
They play today, too. Perfect. We're taking them.
Do you want to throw someone to hit a home run in there today?
Let's do -1.5 run line for Boston, too. I know they won close a couple times over the weekend, but it's +130. Better odds. And anybody you're screaming at to get a home run tonight?
I think CJ Abrams, he hit one yesterday. Fernando Tatis is also hotter in a blowtorch.
Who does Abrams have today?
Abrams, first off, he's been scorching hot for the Nationals.
Yeah, who did the Nationals have today?
Standby.
They have Colorado today in Colorado, so Abrams, balls are going to be flying.
Give me Abrams.
Dude. People can't pitch in that ballpark.
No, give me CJ to hit a home run. And then Kyle.
That's +375.
And then, the Braves. Can we fade the Braves tonight? I'm upset with the Braves. I'm upset with the Braves.
Because
Ronald Acuna was supposed to be back weeks ago. Throw the Braves in there, and that'll wrap things up. That's our Blitz the Book with Hard Rock Bet.
All right. Down on the Braves, they got San Diego. That's going to be tomorrow, but we're going to take San Diego +120 on the road in that regard. Wow. You think I'll like the Odyssey more or less today?
Probably less.
I think I'll like it. I actually think I'll like it more. I do. I think
knowing you, you'll nitpick it.
I don't. I'm not. Listen.
Don't forget that feeling you had when you left the studio. They would rather left the theater.
I said that. My gut is telling me it's not Nolan's best. I don't think I'm going to walk out of that saying that's Nolan's best.
I don't think it's his best, but it's top three, top four, easily.
This is going to start a Nolan kick for me, though. I'm going to have to rewatch all of them. I rewatched The Dark Knight over the weekend. I'm going to have to do Dark Knight Rises here soon, which I think is tremendously underrated. I think that's a great movie.
Rachel,
why are you coming for me? He's so good in the role.
He's amazing. makes a movie, Two-Face Harvey Dent.
Stay tuned. Last episode of Extra Time with Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. Coming up next, it's been Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.